one of the things that I really sensed coming into today, that it would be a time of teaching, but a time of wisdom being released to us. Last week, Apostle began talking about overcoming grace. And one of the things that I love about God is, as I was praying about last week as well, he said the same thing to me when I didn't even know Apostle was going to talk about overcoming grace. But he phrased it to me slightly differently. He spoke the phrase to me, grace to overcome. And I was like, okay. And then Apostle said, overcoming grace. I was like, okay, Jesus, we right in the pocket. Yeah. See, sometimes the Lord will speak something to you, and the phrasing that he will use with you will be to help you understand. And then when you hear someone else say it, it kind of confirms that you are hearing what God is speaking. Because God is speaking to his entire body, and we hear at various levels. So one of the things that I really understand the necessity of right now is this need to walk in the overcoming grace of God. Because we all have been facing challenges, we all have been dealing with pressure, and it seems like the pressure has been increasing. And so we have to understand where the scripture says, when sin abounds, grace abounds much more. When pressure increases, grace increases. Say thank you for the increased grace. And so we all are facing challenges and difficulties and are walking through things, and it seems like it keeps getting added on. It's like one more thing after another, after another, after another. But that is the time when we must draw on the grace of God and recognize that God has strengthened us to tread above every situation, to tread above darkness. And so today, I believe the Lord is going to release some strategy to us about how to do that. Because it's one thing to know that overcoming grace has been released. There's another thing to know how to access it. And so this year, we've been focusing a lot, if you notice how we've been teaching, and with our Wednesday evenings and with our Thursdays, we're really focusing on helping you to apply what you hear. Because the scripture says that when the storms comes, the one who hears the word and does it is like the one who's built his house upon the rock. But it says the one who hears it but doesn't do it is like their house is built upon sand. Your ability to stand firm depends on your ability to apply the scripture. And so this is why in this season we see this sifting happening between those who are emotionally teaching and those who are teaching sound biblical principles. We're seeing the difference between motivational speakers and prophets of God.
That's good.
Amen. And so in John 16:33, Apostle quoted this last week. It says, "These things I have spoken to you," this is Jesus talking, "so that in me you may have peace." It is God's word and his voice that causes us to have peace, and that peace is in him. It says, "In the world you have tribulation." So in the world there's tribulation, in the world there are trials, in the world there's challenges. But in him we have what? Peace. And then it says, but take courage. Courage is something that must be taken and laid hold of. Courage is not a character trait like the world would teach us. Courage is something that we lay hold of and grasp, that is given to us by the Lord. Because he said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. The disciples, when they prayed, they said, give us more boldness. So courage and boldness is something that we can receive from the Lord, and we are to take it and receive it. And Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Because he's overcome the world, that overcoming grace is available to us, but we must take and lay hold of it. You see that? And since Jesus has overcome the world, we, by default, if we allow ourselves to, we overcome the world. The scripture says anyone or whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So the minute you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became an overcomer, and overcoming grace was released upon you. Your DNA became one of overcoming. Because people will say, this runs in your family, that runs in your family, but now you're a part of a new family when you accepted Jesus, and what runs in your family now is overcoming. I remember I was speaking to a relative who tried to say high blood pressure runs in the family. I was like, not this family. I'm like, y'all folks need to watch what y'all eating. I'm good. And so we have to be conscious of what we accept and allow and recognize that the DNA of overcoming is in us. And so we can't help but overcome when we be who we have been designed to be. So in this year, one of the things the Lord told me prophetically is that this is a time of God's goodness. So within this extraordinary grace, regardless of price increasing and 54 or so executive orders and China and doing what they're doing and Russia doing what they're doing and Ukraine doing what they're doing, despite of all of that, the Lord, because of his grace, we're going to see his goodness. But the thing we have to recognize, we have to be like David. David said he would have fainted unless he believed he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so we have to understand that these things around us would try to make us faint, but we have to continue to believe that we will see and experience God's goodness on this side of life. One of the other things the Lord told me prophetically is that our faith walk will be highlighted and a necessity. Because we know when faith is extended, grace is what? Released. So we have to truly walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we are walking by sight, that trouble, that tribulation in the world will get us out of posture. And so as we are experiencing goodness and we're walking by faith, another thing I want to show you prophetically is about the number 25. We know 5, as Apostle broke it down, means grace, because in the Hebrew, they don't have letters and numbers. Their words equate a number. And so we know the 5 equates with the word grace, revelation, divine presence. But the number 20 is a Hebrew word, kaf, and that word kaf symbolizes or can refer to power or covering. Now, when you put that together, kaf and he is the word for 5. It means a word ko. Ko means thus or so, and is often used to introduce a divine declaration such as thus saith the Lord. So during this time and during this year, there are things that not only God has decreed, but we will have to decree to be in agreement with him. Our words, our decree in alignment with what God has already spoken is how we access and walk in this overcoming grace. Because here's the thing, I believe that God answers prayer when we pray. I believe God answers some prayers before we pray. The scripture in Isaiah 65, verse 24 says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. So God sometimes will move and do some things sovereignly for you before you even have the opportunity to pray about it. I also believe that some of these prayers in advance are because of covenant rights and benefits. That certain things we don't have to pray for because they are automatically a right and benefit of the covenant. I don't have to ask God to provide because he said he will supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ. And so that's a benefit of the covenant. So provision is not something I have to ask for. It's something I have to receive because it's a covenant benefit. Say amen to that. I also believe that there are some advanced prayers that are answered by authority. that sometimes God doesn't have to answer a certain prayer because he's given me the authority to address it before I came up to that situation. And so my job is to discern when to ask God to do a thing, when to thank God for what he's already done, and when to decree a thing, then thank God for the enforcement of the decree. I'll say that again. My job, our job as believers, when we understand that some things our covenant rights are already given, some things are a matter of exercising authority, and some things are a matter of praying and petitioning, we have to discern in the challenge which is which. We have to know when I need to ask God, when I need to thank him for what's already done, for what's already a part of the covenant, and when I need to decree something because the authority has been given to me to address, and then I thank him for enforcing the decree. Because words have power in the realm of the spirit. Jesus said, the word I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In Proverbs, it says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so I have to thank God that my words that are released has his grace on them, and it causes something to shift and happen in the realm of the spirit as well as in the natural. But what happens sometimes is when we speak a thing, we see this, it almost looks like a delay between what we speak and what we see. And so in that moment of the appearance of delay is when the enemy tries to get us into a place of doubt and questioning what we said and what we believe. And if we doubt, then what we said won't happen. And then the enemy tries to create this cycle. Somebody speak, they get into doubt, it doesn't happen. They say, I'm speaking, and it's not working. And then they get frustrated and stop speaking. But we have to speak in faith and continue to believe that what we spoke is happening. Now, let me show you something. Depending on our time, that depends on how much I get to show you. Let me show you how Jesus addressed certain challenges and how he demonstrated overcoming grace. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, this is very familiar because we know it's the chapter where Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves and all of those things. And we read that a lot. But I want you to hear this by the Spirit of God in the context of what he's saying to us today about overcoming grace. And those of you that are watching online, thank you for watching. My name is Jamal Maxim. I serve as the executive pastor here at Heirs Covenant Church. We are under the leadership of Apostle John W. Stevenson. Like, share, comment, do all the things so the algorithm can push it out to everybody. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. All right, so Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. It's just like Jesus to say, let's go somewhere. Because God is always moving. He will always direct us to go somewhere and be in alignment with him. Yeah. And a lot of times in the natural, when God says, let's go do something, we get so excited. We're like, yeah, the Lord told me to go do this. He told me to do that. But then we start facing challenges and we're like, wait, did God tell me to do this? Because we expect when the Lord tells us to do something for it to come to pass extremely easy. We expect there to be no difficulty because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You remember Israel Houghton used to sing that in his song, and we used to sing it and be like, yeah, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It is. But in the world there's tribulation, but in him there's peace. And we have to reconcile that there's peace in him and peace with him, but there are challenges that we have to walk out and overcome. So it says, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. So now Jesus gave a direction and said, let's go. It says the boats were with him. I love the way it says with him instead of with them. Because when we go somewhere, no matter who is going with us, we are with him. Now, this wind happens, this storm begins to happen, just like in our own lives, we start obeying Jesus or God tells us something, and then storms begin to happen. Be like, Lord, you told me to start this business, but it's like, do I need to go back to work for somebody else? Or you told me to go work this job, but them folks... So things start happening because the word gets tested when we are with Jesus, but that doesn't mean we're in the wrong space or doing the wrong thing. The scripture says that trials come as a result of the word. Sometimes stuff break out because you heard the word and received it. If you would have rejected the word, or reduced the word, or resisted the word, you probably wouldn't have the stuff or be dealing with the stuff you're dealing with. But because you received it, now it gets so hard. And you have to watch yourself when things get hard because you start thinking thoughts you've never thought before. You start thinking about quitting. You start thinking about alternatives. You start thinking about ways of escape. And then you start quoting scripture where the Lord said he will not allow someone to be tempted and provide a way of escape. But that ain't the way of escape. You start thinking of your way of escaping to avoid the pain and the pressure. God's way of escape is to give you grace that is sufficient in your weakness. See, we like to avoid pain, and God molds us through it. Becoming new wineskin does not feel good. And if you ain't, I'm telling you from experience, and I could tell you from the last 30 days, I'm telling you the new wineskin does not feel good. Everybody thinks it feels good when you read it on the page because the pages of your paper Bible feel so sleek because how they printed it and it says, oh, we get the new wineskin for the new wine and you think it's going to feel smooth just because the page printed feels smooth. It feels rough. It feels hard. It makes you want to cry. It makes you want to say, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours. It makes you wonder, did you really call me for this?
Go ahead.
But we want the anointing. We want the new wine. You can't even make wine without stepping on grapes, without something being crushed. You want new wine, that means something has to get crushed in order for the juice to come. And experiencing the crushing will make you get on your face. It will make you fast when an apostle didn't call one.
All right.
It'll make you turn off the TV without no other reason. It'll make you sometimes just sit in silence, be like, look, I just don't need no noise. So this storm was blowing against them, and it says that the boats were filling up. Now, in my imagination, because I've been on a cruise maybe one or two times, and I didn't like it because I was feeling seasick because that thing was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And then I was trying to, like, walk, like, from the, you know, where we were, you got to go to another upper level. And I was trying to walk on the side. And I was like, nope, I ain't even going outside to go up to the upper level because that thing was up and down. And I'm like holding on to the railing, thinking I'm not about to fall in this ocean. And it was nighttime too. I'm like, please, I'd have been blending in. And so I could imagine this up and down, this toss to and fro. Not only was scaring them about drowning and losing their life, but it probably was doing something on the inside, probably making somebody sick. I can use my imagination that somebody was probably ready to vomit, somebody was sick, somebody was panicking, somebody was holding on for dear life and just like frozen like a deer in headlights, just holding because they like, look, I ain't going. All of this is probably happening, and life does that to us. It tries to make us feel sick in our soul, sick in our bodies, tossed to and fro, make us so tense where we're just holding on for dear life. And then it was filling up, so I can imagine in my mind, I'm thinking, I'd have been dumping some water out, like, this ain't going, So you can imagine some folks are probably trying to do a natural solution to a problem that can only be solved in the supernatural. Because you, in the middle of a storm, you can't dump enough stuff out fast enough. But in your mind, you're thinking, I got to do something. I'm not just going to surrender to this problem. But then it says, Jesus himself, like he could be somebody else. I wonder why they said Jesus himself. But it says, Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Now, there are two things I could see right there. One, sometimes we can be going through stuff, and it can feel like Jesus is asleep. It's like, I've been asking, I've been praying, I've been seeking, and I'm hearing nothing. It's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Are we speaking the same language, Jesus? But like Apostle said last week, that is the time to trust even more. Because sometimes he ain't gotta say nothing. But then also, I look at the posture of Jesus. He was in a place of rest. All these things were going on around him, but on the inside of him, he was resting. He was asleep. The Bible says that there is a rest for the people of God in Hebrews chapter 4. And it says if Joshua had given them rest, then God would not have spoken of another rest. Meaning rest is not physical, even though we physically go to sleep. But the place of rest in God is not a physical place. It's not a natural thing that we do, a place we go, or a natural circumstance. Because when Hebrews wrote that, it talked about the people entering into their promise. You could be in the promise of God and still not be at rest. So the rest that remains is a posture that we enter into where we experience the overcoming grace and the peace of God, which then guards our hearts and minds in Christ. So one of the things we have to be conscious of is that in the middle of challenge, we have to fight the fight of faith to enter into rest. Rest would keep you from doing stuff because you think something has to be done. I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to be overcome. Rest would keep you from activity and move you to productivity because they're two different things. John Maxwell talked about activity is like an octopus with roller skates. It's a bunch of movement, but it ain't going nowhere. So Jesus was at rest, and then they says they woke him up and said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Now look, their challenges had shaped them to the point where they start questioning if God cared. Things will have you questioning, does God care? Do the people of God care? Do the people around me care? What's up? Do my cousins care? Do my mama care? Does my wife, my spouse care? Who cares? Does my dog even care? You'd be questioning everybody. It'll have you thinking nobody cares, and this feeling of isolation would try to come upon you because you think nobody cares anyway. But that is not the place we need to be. Because it wasn't like Jesus wasn't with them. The fact that he's with us, we know he cares. He loves us. Jesus was given for us. He gave his life for us when he didn't have to. And since he did all that, why wouldn't he take care of us now? Why wouldn't he deliver you now? What he's delivering us from now, or may have to deliver us from in the future, is nothing compared to being delivered from sin. I mean, these things may seem very heavy when we start thinking about, you know, what we need deliverance from, persecution, people talking about us, you know, financial challenges, all of the healing our bodies, all those things. But that's nothing in comparison to the eternal fate of the soul. So if he delivered your soul to keep it from going to hell, why wouldn't you think he wouldn't deliver you from somebody messing with you? The Bible says, since he gave Christ, wouldn't he not, with Christ, give us all things? So Jesus was experiencing a storm, but his posture was different than the disciples. So they asked if he didn't care. Now I would tell you this, that when you are walking in overcoming grace, sometimes people will ask if you care. Your posture of rest can be misinterpreted. They will act like you don't understand the seriousness of the situation because they're responding one way and you're responding from a place of rest. You're responding, recognizing that there's a grace to overcome this. And they're freaking out. And they'll say, you don't care about me. So you have to be conscious, even when you're dealing with people, as you walk in this overcoming grace, because when you step into it, your response is going to be different. Sometimes before God changes the outward circumstance, he changes you on the inside. And how you see the outward circumstance shifts and changes. So this is what Jesus did. He got up in verse 39, Mark 4. He got up, he rebuked the wind. Notice he did not ask the Father to rebuke the wind. He recognized that in this situation, I have to exercise my authority and speak. Because this is a collaborative moment with God. So I am going to speak and rebuke the wind, and it's going to be God's power that causes the wind to stop. It's not like I get up and rebuke the wind and my power does anything. Because sometimes you can tell a dog to stop and he ain't stopping. You can be like, sit. That dog be like, nope. So, but when we speak to something in collaborative moments of exercising authority, the thing has to respond because of the power of Jesus operating through us. So he said, he recognized that in this moment, the authority lies on me to do something. See, we have to know that there are times when we ask God and times when we work with God. And so this is like brings more highlight to me. We remember when Israel came to the Red Sea and it says Moses cried out and the Lord said, why are you crying unto me? I remember reading that thinking, that's a strange thing to say, God. Who else he gonna cry to? But the more I walk with God and the more God shows me about the demonstration of his power through the believer, I understand why he would say that. Because this was one of those same situations. Jesus didn't pray to the Father to rebuke. He got up and rebuked. He rebuked the wind, and then he spoke to the sea. Now, the King James says it, peace be still. This New American Standard says, let me find it. It says, hush, be still. Now, when you are speaking to a thing, sometimes there you may have to speak to two different things. Notice he rebuked the wind, but then he spoke to the sea. Now, we don't know what he said when he rebuked it, but those are two different things. He spoke a voice, a certain thing to the sea, and then he did a certain thing to the wind, and the storm stopped. Sometimes in your declaration, when you are exercising authority over a challenge, you might have to speak to the details of that thing so that the root of it is dealt with and not just a symptom. You might have to speak to the spirit that's motivating the person, and then you might have to speak to the confusion that was caused by the person. You get what I'm saying? And so sometimes you can speak to the confusion that the person caused, and then God will respond, of course, and handle that, but now you got to speak to the spirit that motivated that person. You got to arrest that spirit and then declare that person's freedom. So they're no longer under the influence. And then so he asked them, why are you afraid? How is it that you had no faith? Meaning that he expected them to do what he had just did. Let me show you something else really quick, because my time is running. Mark 11. So in Mark 11, verse 20, it says, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Now, a lot of times when people read the next thing that Jesus is about to say, they look at it figuratively, symbolically, which are good ways to understand what Jesus is about to say. But we also must remember he's also talking about literally. He had just went to a fig tree that had leaves, and it wasn't even the season for it to have figs, but he wanted a fig anyway. And then he cursed the tree for not having a fig when it wasn't even the season for that fig to be on the tree. Now, in the natural mind, I would think, why did Jesus do that? It was doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't supposed to have figs yet. But here's what I drew from that scripture. Can I share it with you? Sometimes God expects us to do something miraculously with him and through him that the natural conditions will say is not supposed to happen. Sometimes, because of the power of Holy Spirit, God expects us not to be restricted by natural conditions. The economy can say one thing. They can be projecting one thing. The experts can say one thing. But with God, you could be doing something totally different. Because with God, all things are what? Possible. The realm of impossibility is our realm that we live because we are in Christ. It is the realm of the overcoming grace. But anything that would try to restrict us or stop us is a non-factor. And so Jesus' response to them wasn't like, yeah, I prophesied over that tree. Somebody yell, prophesy. No, I'm just playing. He wasn't doing that. He just said, listen, have faith in God. Trust in God. Have faith in God, but also have the God kind of faith. Use your faith the way God uses faith. And so then he begins to explain how to do that in verse 23. It says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now, this is where people get figurative and, you know, symbolic. Speak to the mountain. But he's also talking about something physical, because he just spoke to a physical tree. So he's saying that you could speak to something in the natural and see something in the natural shift. Because our speaking shouldn't be hypothetical or literal. It should be we speak something that God tells us to speak. Something happens in the realm of the spirit, but then it doesn't stay there because it has to break forth into time and space. And we call that a suddenly. So we should be the catalyst for some suddenlies when we speak to a thing, which is why when the scripture says we lay hands on the sick and they recover. It says, but if you speak to this mountain and you tell it to be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. See, here's the thing. Doubt tries to attack the heart, which is the soul realm. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your appetites, your affections, your desires. That's where doubt tries to creep in. So you could, in your head, be saying something out of your mouth, but emotionally and mentally, you might not even be in agreement with what you just said. Or you can be speaking something, but not be thoroughly convinced it's going to happen. And so how we speak is important. The posture by which we speak is essential for operating in overcoming grace. We have to speak with confidence, man, trusting God. And we have to speak and not let ourselves doubt, wondering if what we said is actually going to happen. We can't be like, oh, I hope God does it. Because sometimes God will tell you to do some stuff and say some stuff, and you'd be like, But it says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted. Notice it says going to, then it will be granted. Meaning you say it, you have to believe it's going to in order for it to actually to. You see that? So we have to speak from faith, confident in the grace of God. Because when faith is extended, grace is what? Released. When faith is extended, grace is what? And we have to speak through what? Faith. So that the grace will be released. Now, let me give you three things the Lord shared with me because my time is up. To access this overcoming grace. And then on Wednesday, we'll continue this in a discussion format. So make sure you come out 7 p.m. Number one, to operate and access overcoming grace, we must believe that overcoming grace has been released to us. I mean, it seems simple, but sometimes we forget that it's been given to us. And we start asking God for stuff and be like, wait a minute, I need to access this grace. And remember, you don't have to ask God for the grace. You have to receive and thank him for it. Because it's already been released to you. That's like when people ask for the power of God. God, send your power. He already sent it. Because Holy Spirit came, and it says when you receive Holy Spirit, you receive what? Power. So we're wasting our time asking for when we need to receive what's already been given. Because we're asking for what he already gave us in advance. Number two, ask Holy Spirit. It's funny, I would say ask, and then it says ask. Ask Holy Spirit what is required of us. And what is our response to the challenges? Remember, we've learned in this house to pray, what is required of me in light of what I now know? What is the response that Holy Spirit we're facing? And when you ask that question, you have to be still enough to allow him to direct you into what you're to pray for or what you are to decree. And when he leads you to a decree, he will take you to the scripture to decree. Because the difference between an affirmation and a decree is that a decree is something that is established by God. An affirmation is how people feel about themselves. And in challenges, I don't need an affirmation. I need something that's been established by God. Because the word of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't return to him void. It prospers. It accomplishes the thing by which he sent it. So he'll lead you to the scripture to decree. Because when you're operating in spiritual things, you got to operate according to the word. Otherwise, it's an illegal operation. And then when he tells you what to pray or what to decree, then you have to speak to it without doubting. And you have to speak to it in faith. And when and if doubt tries to come to you, you have to speak to that doubt. Because you have to remember, doubt is not from you and of you. The scripture says, we receive the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. So when doubt comes, you don't fight a thought with a thought. You fight thoughts with words. See, the world will tell you to positively think your way to victory. But the scripture tells us we decree and we believe our way in victory, not to victory, but in and from victory. Because it's already ours. Say it's already mine. And I'm going to stop right there because my time is up. We're going to continue Wednesday. You receive that word?